Good morning. Will you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please? Deuteronomy chapter 7, our first scripture will come from there. How did we get to be holy? That's what we'll answer today. And the answer comes from Moses. Marilyn and I laughed at the sermon title. Talk about a question that no one is asking. Another one of Ed's famous titles. How did we get to be holy? That is not the burning question in very many minds. But here's why I go after things like that, people. Our minds are full of our own story, our own challenges, our worries, our joys, our questions. People have always been like this. And here's the thing. God responds by telling us the big story again. The Bible is always retelling the same big story in different ways. So God thinks that reminding us of the big story is the best way to guide and encourage us in our own little stories. And if we're going to get messages from the Bible, we're going to spend a lot of time learning different ways to say the big story. And that's why I'm speaking on how did we get to be holy. I hope you notice that I put this in the past tense. If we're God's children, we're holy. It is a done deal. And because we are holy, God calls us to live holy lives. And we don't always do well at that, but we are called to live holy lives because God already made us holy. The old-fashioned word for being holy is saints. That's what the King James Bible calls us, and some translations still use saints. Saints means holy people. And it's used of us about 60 times in the New Testament letters. And it's used of some believers with pretty sketchy lives, big spiritual problems in their lives, but they're still saints, without any doubt. So, how did we get to be holy? How did we get to be saints? I'm going to begin with an illustration. I have here a cup holding lots of pens and pencils. So I'm going to pick some of these. I'll take a short pencil. Here's a long pencil. And here is a skinny pen. And I'm going to take this red pen. And here's a real old pen. And I'll take one or two more. So I have picked these ones. I have them in my hand. And now I'm putting them in my pocket. These pens and pencils are mine. I'm taking these and I'm keeping them. So I did two things with a cup of pens and pencils. I picked some. That's the first thing. And I made those ones mine. When God does that with people, they become holy. The reason you and I are holy people is that God did with us what I just did with the pens and pencils that are now in my pocket. And now we're going to read four short scriptures, all from Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And Moses said this to the Israelites, and the New Testament tells us it's the same for us. We are holy to the Lord. We are God's people. How did that happen? First, the Lord our God has chosen us out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. So the first thing that happened was God made a selection. Second, God did this so that we would be his people, his treasured possession. God made us his, and he keeps us close to his heart. Do you have pens that you treasure? I have a few I'd be sorry to lose, although I'm embarrassed to say so, and I did not bring them in the cup today, because who knows what might happen to them. So I have other possessions that I try not to treasure too much. Do you have any treasured possessions? Probably there's something you'd be sorry to lose. God chose us out of all the peoples on earth to belong to him, and we are his treasure. And his choosing and his ownership makes us holy. Our second text is from Exodus 19. Turn to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to go back about 40 years. Exodus chapter 19, starting at verse 4. This is God offering the covenant to Israel. Exodus 19:4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the Deuteronomy verse before this was what Moses spoke to Israel at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness. Exodus and Leviticus come at the beginning. Israel traveled about 3 months after crossing the Red Sea to get to Mount Sinai. And there they made the covenant with God, and there they made the tabernacle. They were there about 9 months. So these words from Exodus come just about as soon as they got to Mount Sinai, 3 months after they left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. So God says, you've seen what I did to your enemies, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And from God, all that was free. But now they have a choice to make. Becoming God's holy people does not happen without our choice. So God offered them covenant. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Are you in or out? So God doesn't explain what will happen if they say no, but he explains what happens if they say yes. Out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They will end up being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's two different ways of saying much the same thing. As far as lifestyle goes, there was still a lot of unholiness in that group. So what exactly made them a holy nation? One, God separated them from the rest. God physically took them out of Egypt. He carried them on eagle's wings and he brought them to Mount Sinai. Two, he won't just leave them there. He will make them his treasured possession. And if they agree to be his people, they will be his kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So we are saints. We are here, God's holy people, because God separated us from the rest and he made us his own, his treasured possession. And that is how we got to be saints, God's holy people. And folks, it is very good news. It's a very good place to be. Our third scripture is from Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. So, this is still Moses at the bottom of Mount Sinai, a few months after the tabernacle was built, but they're still there in that first year. Leviticus 20:26. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. So the last half of this verse just says the same thing again that we've already seen. I set you apart from the nations to be my own. That's what God did for us here. He set us apart from the rest, and he made us his own, and that's what makes us holy, and that's why he urges us to live holy lives here. There's a lot of separation going on. So God separates us from other people. God makes a distinction between us and the rest. And as a result, we go through life making distinctions between clean and unclean, between right and wrong. We are not of the world, but we are still in the world, so we ourselves choose what is right and what is clean, and we avoid what is wrong and unclean. We do with our lives what God did with us. Remember, you did not choose me, no, I have chosen you. That's a song and a line in the song we sang last Sunday, and it comes from John 15. Jesus said pretty much those exact words to his followers. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you and appointed you to bear fruit. And this is my command, love each other. Our fourth text is in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, verse 32. Leviticus 22, 32. Do not profane my holy name, for I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who made you holy and who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord who made you holy. Okay, by this point, Israel had made the Exodus covenant with God. God himself had made them holy. How did he do that? God brought them out of Egypt to be their God. God brought them out of Egypt to make them his own. And he brought us out of Egypt to make us his own and to be our God. And now we are his treasured possession. And these sentences are just saying the same thing in different words. Those people needed to know that they were holy people and how they got that way. And we need to know that we are holy people and how we got that way. Let's talk a little bit about God's choice and human free will. Believers generally end up in one of two camps on this question. Some of us think that God choosing us is what decides if we come to faith or not. Did God choose us or did he not? And people are not quite puppets, but a little bit we're like puppets. We just do what God decided we would do. That's one camp. The other camp believes that it is up to us. Humans have a free will. We choose God or we don't. And in this camp, God's choice becomes something like he just knew ahead of time what we would do. But he is not the decider. We are the actual deciders. The thing is, my brothers and sisters, there are many scriptures to support both sides of that. There's no doubt about that. So I urge you to avoid either one of these options. Do your best to let both be true. When I was in high school, a man in our church taught us this way. We are all going down life's road, and we come to an open gate with a big sign on the top. And the sign says, "Eternal life, whosoever will may enter." So we stand outside and we look at that, and we and the others around us talk about it, and we wonder if we should go in or not. So some keep going, and some of us enter the gate. And we walk through the gate, and after we walk through, we look back at the sign on the top, and it says something different on the inside. On the inside, it says, "You were chosen before the foundation of the earth." And we think, is that right? That's not what it said on the outside, so we step back to make sure what it said on the outside. Yes, it says, "Eternal life, whosoever will may enter." But on the inside it says, "You were chosen before the foundation of the world." So both sides are entirely true. In Exodus 19, God said to Israel, "If you will be my people, I will be your God." And it was a real choice. They could say yes, or they could say no. And they chose yes. And later God says to them, "You're a holy people because the Lord your God made you holy. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." So when the Bible says we have a real choice to make and it counts, the Bible means just that. Just what it sounds, and I will teach that with full conviction. These scriptures, for the most part, emphasize God's choice, and so that is how we will take this. And folks, this is why, how we got to be holy, this is why God's people live differently. For Moses, knowing how he became holy leads God's people to living different than those around them. And it's the same for us now. The New Testament says all these things. God chose us, you and me, out of all the peoples, and he made us his own. And so we live differently than all the peoples. We live as his treasured possession should live, and he tells us how to do that. And this is a great encouragement. I hope you will enjoy it and praise God. I'm speaking on this today for your enjoyment. God gives us encouragement. These are not easy times for most of us, but that's not the whole story. The troubles are the little story. And being God's holy people, his treasured possession, is our big story. And the best thing that could happen to anyone on earth has happened to us. God chose us and made us his treasure. It is all his. Everything is his, but it is not all his treasure. We are his treasure. So Moses used these truths to encourage holy living, and the Psalms used these truths to praise God, to thank and worship Him, because it was such good news. So God chose us out of all the peoples on earth, all the peoples on the face of the earth. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. It cost Him a great deal to own us, but He paid with the death of His Son, and now we are His. And that is how we got to be saints, holy people. Amen. Let's pray. O God, You made us, and You chose us out of all the peoples, and You paid for us. We are Your holy nation, Your kingdom of priests, and Your treasured possession. We are the people of Your pasture, and the sheep of Your hand, and we thank You with joy and gladness. We praise You, O God, from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May God Himself, the God of peace, make us holy through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.